Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, Governor Cuomo endorses Clinton for president. Mayor de Blasio, not so much.
I think she's a tremendous public servant. I think she is one of the most qualified people to ever run for this office. And by the way, thoroughly vetted, we can say that. But we need to see the substance.
Is he disloyal? An important independent progressive? Or is this coordination to avoid a coronation? Also today, the Iran nuclear deal in English and Farsi. Is it the same deal in either country's language? A call in for New York State public school parents today. Will you opt your children in or opt them out of this week's standardized tests? And the Museum of Modern Art mounts a Jacob Lawrence exhibition a century after the start of the Great Migration from South to North. We'll talk about the exhibit and invite your family's Great Migration stories. But first, we knew what former Senator from New York Hillary Clinton was going to do yesterday, announce for the Democratic presidential nomination and open her national headquarters in Brooklyn. We did not know the New York angle would be making headlines today across the nation. Bill de Blasio, Clinton's first campaign manager in her U.S. Senate bid from New York 15 years ago, went on Meet the Press and was not ready to endorse her. Here is the mayor's full exchange with the host, Chuck Todd.
Are you for her now, unequivocally, or do you want to wait to see if she takes your advice on moving to a more progressive agenda?
I think like a lot of people in this country, I want to see a vision. And again, that would be true of candidates on all levels. It's time to see a clear, bold vision for progressive
You're technically not yet endorsing her.
No, not until I see, and I would say this about any candidate, until I see an actual vision of where they want to go. I think she's a tremendous public servant. I think she is one of the most qualified people to ever run for this office. And by the way, thoroughly vetted, we can say that. But we need to see the substance.
All right. Do you want to see her get a tough primary?
I think, again, what's happening now almost synthesizes some of the reality of primary. Clearly, what's happening in the progressive wing of the Democratic Party is a demand for our candidates to come forward with a vision. That's creating some of the same positive pressure you see in the primary process. She doesn't need to be vetted. I think we can safely say that. But I think she has to address the issues, and that could be done with or without a primary.
Bill de Blasio on Meet the Press with us now for Clinton for President Day 2. Juan Manuel Benitez, New York One Noticias reporter, host of their Spanish language politics show, Pura Politica. Hi, Juan Manuel.
Hi, good morning, Brian.
And thanks for guest hosting the other week when I was away.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I think we're going to have Gail Collins, New York Times columnist, on the line here in just a minute. The big daily news headline greeting commuters on the newsstands this morning is stabbed in the back, like de Blasio. New York Post, Hill's fury, Blas won't endorse. New York Times, much more restrained. Mayor de Blasio saying he wants more policy detail, holds off on endorsing Hillary Clinton. That's so boring. Juan Manuel, did he stab her in the back?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a hilarious controversy today. We have to put things into perspective. First of all, he made these comments hours before Hillary Clinton really released that video, her big announcement. So you're not going to say I'm endorsing you right before you formally declare your candidacy. Number two, why are you going to give things away? Maybe de Blasio wants something from her, and there's some leverage. There's some negotiation that always happens between politicians in the endorsement process. And number three, I think de Blasio basically is saying what a lot of voters out there are saying. I like Hillary. She has a lot of experience. She's a great candidate. But I want to hear what she has to say. You can't give it away that quickly.
So, listeners, especially if you're on the progressive left, are you ready to endorse Hillary Clinton for president? Or do you also want to hold out for policy details? 212-433-WNYC. Or do you think Bill de Blasio stabbed Hillary Clinton in the back? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. I mean, one analysis of de Blasio is that he is setting himself up as the national liberal clearinghouse for the Democratic Party. Is that how you hear that exchange to any degree?
Sure. He's a mayor of New York City. We always see the mayor of New York City as the leader of some sort of political movement in the country. But it's also, I think, de Blasio's comments also go in line with the basically message of her candidacy. She says in that video, I'm out there to earn every single vote, to earn your vote. You can't give it away so quickly. So I do believe that this is where most Americans are right now. Those who are ready, those who like Hillary Clinton, they are ready to listen to her first, and then they'll decide. We are 50 months away from the presidential election.
Right. I have a little conspiracy theory that actually runs in the other direction from stabbing her in the back, that it's all comfy, cozy, and coordinated. I'm not saying this is true, and I have no evidence that this is true, but it's a scenario that's occurred to me, that his endorsement right now would mean little to the progressive wing of the party or to Hillary Clinton in general. If he waits and she does come out with a few policies to address inequality, which she will, and then he endorses her, it makes news again and boosts her at what will be a more important time, especially if she's getting any meaningful challenges from some of these even relatively small-name Democrats that are expected to run against her to her left. I don't know that that's what's happening, but do you find that plausible?
I totally agree with that and with that thought. Imagine the headlines had de Blasio yesterday morning endorsed Hillary Clinton. The headline would be maybe de Blasio is giving it away so quickly. He is a Clinton operative right there. So it would be a totally different headline.
Right. Or no headline. Nobody's talking about Cuomo endorsing Clinton, which he did immediately yesterday, because it's just expected.
And maybe he's happy about that, too.
Maybe so. And of course, making my theory less plausible is that de Blasio will apparently go to Iowa to make some appearances himself this week as Clinton launches her campaign in person there. Do you know about that, Juan Manuel? Is he, in fact, doing that? And what's that about?
I'm sure de Blasio wants to leverage his position as the mayor of New York City and also as basically some sort of leader, like we said before, of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. He got elected with a message of income inequality that is a message that is going to keep resonating with national voters during this election cycle. So I'm sure he's trying also to use that platform, to use Hillary Clinton's candidacy to boost also his credentials nationwide.
Right. He's not running, right? Can we put that aside? You know, there was a little burst of right-wing media a few months ago that said Bill de Blasio is going to run for the Democratic nomination now that he's the progressive standard bearer. And he's going to Iowa. But we can rule that out, can't we?
Yes, I think you can rule that out. And remember another thing. There's a clear danger to many Democrats right now that Hillary might not have to face a primary. That comes with positives, but also with strong negatives, because she won't be tested. And a lot of people are looking for some kind of excitement. They want to see Hillary in action. And the only way to see the candidate during the primary season in action is having a real primary and a real contender facing each other at debates and other forums.
Well, being pushed to policy positions by de Blasio, who's not running, is one thing. Another actual contender would be another. The names that I know, Martin O'Malley, former governor of Maryland, former mayor of Baltimore, Jim Webb, former U.S. senator, both would be running on her sort of economic populist left, and so might Bernie Sanders, the independent socialist Democrat or independent socialist senator from Vermont who might get into the primaries as a Democrat. Those are the three names that are generally mentioned as who might actually throw their hats into the ring for the primary season. Elizabeth Warren keeps saying no, 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 so we'll take her at a word for now. Are those the names you know? Anybody else?
I think those are the names, and it all comes down to money, whether Democratic donors are going to be there distributing money to different candidates or they are just putting all the gold in one pot, in Hillary's pot, not allowing anybody else to run in the Democratic primary. I think all those names are good names. And remember, voters out there are not as obsessed as we are with making this a one-candidate campaign. They are willing to listen to other voices, and they're expecting a real race. They don't want a coronation, and a coronation would be negative at the end of the day for Hillary Clinton.
Also joining us now is New York Times columnist Gail Collins. Hi, Gail.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. And you're on with Juan Manuel Benitez from the New York One Spanish language politics show, Pura Politica. Gail, I mentioned before, the big daily news headline greeting commuters on the newsstands this morning is "Stabbed in the Back." The New York Post, Hill's Fury, Blas won't endorse. Your New York Times, Mayor de Blasio saying he wants more policy detail, holds off on endorsing Hillary Clinton. That's so boring. Is he stabbing her in the back?
Well, you know, he's a guy, they've worked together, and he's taking a policy position about the importance of having a lot of debate, but I mean, this is sort of personal. If I was Hillary Clinton, I'd be pretty ticked off, I must admit.
Really? Personal because why?
Well, they've worked together. I mean, this is, you know, a long relationship. She's going to win the nomination. I think there's a good argument that you'd like to have some policy discussions. We've got a lot of time, so we should have primaries. But she's pretty clearly the nominee, has been for a long time. And it really does make him look sort of above it all, too. I mean, it's sort of funny, but I mean, it's not a big deal.
Some of the close relations between them over time, for people who don't know, he was Hillary Clinton's first campaign manager when she was running for Senate in New York in 2000. Bill Clinton swore de Blasio in as mayor last year. That's how close they are. But another detail, Gail, is that, unless I'm mistaken, Hillary Clinton did not endorse de Blasio at all in his hard-fought Democratic primary, only in the general election for mayor. She sat out the primaries. Is that right? And if so, why did she do that?
They were more hard fought, for one thing. I mean, this is—I don't argue that as a matter of principle, it's not fine for, you know, de Blasio to say something like this. But I mean, it's just in practical matters. That was a campaign that de Blasio was not really expected to win. There was another woman running who was a very strong candidate. And, you know, there were a lot of strong candidates. In fact, it looked like at the beginning. And this is a race in which there's one person who's assuredly going to win unless she falls off a cliff. And it does seem like a little bit of a diss. But
So Juan Manuel,
he's only a mayor.
He's only a mayor?
He's only a mayor. And
he's the mayor of New York.
Of course, it's our city. It's a great city. It's the best city and the largest city, but what can I say?
And he's setting, we were talking about this before he came on, maybe he's setting himself up as kind of a national liberal clearinghouse for Democratic Party politicians, as one analyst put it in one of the papers today.
I think that's true. I think he does like to see himself as sort of a spokesman and a forerunner for the new progressive left Democratic Party. And good for him. I'm not making a policy statement here. I'm just saying, yeah, if I was Hillary, I'd be irritated.
So Juan Manuel, as a New York City reporter, do you think there could be an element of just old-fashioned political payback here, petty as that might be, for Clinton not endorsing de Blasio during the mayoral primary?
I doubt it. Like I said, I think you need some leverage to negotiate an endorsement. And I think it's better for Hillary right now to have de Blasio basically driving some issues to the left if she's not going to have a primary. And then let's not forget, in that primary, Democratic primary for mayor a couple of years ago, we thought Kristen Quinn was a clear winner. Nobody thought Bill de Blasio was going to win. So we're still 15, 16 months away from the presidential election. We're still a few months away from the beginning of the primary season. Let's not forget that Hillary Clinton will have to endure an incredible amount of scrutiny from now on that might not be that easy. This is a totally new election. The election 4 years ago was a totally different election. Now we're talking about social media. We're talking about apps on your phone that let you broadcast live from any location. Can a candidate withstand that kind of scrutiny for that long and still be exciting for voters?
Gail, I think it's important to know, at least speculate, what specific details de Blasio might be waiting to hear at the policy level. He mentioned on Meet the Press taxes and wages in general. Do you have any sense of what de Blasio might want specifically from the next Democratic nominee for president on those things?
No, and it's a little peculiar. I mean, I don't know. Hillary Clinton rightfully takes a lot of grief over the degree to which she does, you know, fundraising for the Clinton Foundation and, you know, for other purposes and for her own campaign now from Wall Street, how close the relationships are there. But when it comes to things like taxing and wages, she's always been to the left in the Democratic Party. I mean, she's taken strong stands about taxing the income of, say, hedge traders. At a higher level than we do right now. She's been always very strong on the minimum wage. In the last election, this has been talked about before, she was the person on the left on domestic policy when she ran against Barack Obama. I mean, I understand the concerns that people have, and I understand that she's fuzzy somewhat about a lot of the details and things, but I'm not quite clear on why people are so ticked off about her from the progressive side.
Well, at this point, I'd like to play Clinton's words from her announcement video. Came out mid-afternoon yesterday, and I haven't heard the actual words parsed all that much for policy implications. Most media keep excerpting the soundbite that's the very general statement from this, that I want to be your champion, and saying that indicates she's trying to make the race about you, not about her. And okay, fine, as far as that goes. But here is the full 38 seconds of her voice in the two-minute video. Listen to her using the language of the left that the system is rigged for the rich, and listen to her imply that government action helps make families strong. This starts after the video shows a diverse array of Americans starting new businesses and starting new families.
I'm getting ready to do something too. I'm running for president. Americans have fought their way back from tough economic times, but the deck is still stacked in favor of those at the top. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion. So you can do more than just get by. You can get ahead and stay ahead, because when families are strong, America is strong. So I'm hitting the road to earn your vote, because it's your time. And I hope you'll join me on this journey.
So, Gail Collins, the deck is stacked. And I don't know, you said she's always been an economic progressive. And yeah, but do you hear that as a nod to the de Blasio, Elizabeth Warren left right out of the gate? Because if someone wants to push back on that video from the left, they could say, hey, it was your husband's administration that did so much of the rigging with the free trade and the bank deregulations policies he signed. Do you hear it that way at all? And would she have an answer for that?
Well, you know, I have to say that basically the words that you're hearing there are almost exactly the same words that you heard from Ted Cruz last week. Everybody right now is talking about how they're going to help, the deck is stacked against the middle class, against the working people, and they're going to help to make sure that the deck is not stacked anymore. It's just
right, but Ted Cruz thinks but Ted Cruz thinks that the government is the elite force that's stacking the deck against people. Tell me if you disagree. And Hillary is suggesting that it's the corporate world.
Well, there is a lot of within the Republican Party now, a very kind of an ill-defined but talk about, you know, the big money is somehow stacking the deck. I mean, that, you heard that from Rand Paul. You're going to hear it from Marco Rubio today. And it's just a different kind of vision of how that deck is being stacked and what the deck is. But there's a lot of talk about, you know unfair dealings with big rich people getting their way. Lobbyists in Washington are going to Congress and getting special deals for their special companies. That's, I mean, it's not the same thing, but that those words are words you're going to hear from every single candidate this year.
New York Times columnist Gail Collins with us. Juan Manuel Benitez from New York One and New York One Noticias, their Spanish language service, with us. And let's take some phone calls. Our lines are full. We put out the call a little while ago. Do you think Bill de Blasio is stabbing Hillary Clinton in the back? Or do you, too, want to see more policy detail if you're a Democrat, if you're somebody who could vote in a Democratic primary, before you actually are ready to give Hillary Clinton your vote? And I will identify our first caller as a longtime Clinton supporter calling this show, Reba in Manhattan. Hi, Reba, you're on the air.
Yes, I do. I do think Bill de Blasio is stabbing Hillary in the back. Hillary is far more popular with Democrats than Bill de Blasio is. He has a lot of problems with his base, particularly white people, and I don't think this is going to help him. We should all be rallying around Hillary. She has a very good chance to be the first woman president. The Republicans do not have any candidate that appeals nationwide. We should be rallying around her, not stabbing her in the back. And I don't see where this is going. He should be concentrating on the problems of New York City, not trying to raise his national profile.
Reba, I'm just curious for political context. Who did you support in the Democratic primary for mayor? I don't know.
Christine Quinn.
Reba, thank you so much. I appreciate your call. And Dave in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I don't think that Mayor de Blasio is stabbing anybody in the back. And I think the only chance for the Republicans to beat Hillary is based on the statistics that show that the real backbone of the people who elect Democrats for president show out much stronger in the presidential race than the primaries. There's a much weaker showing of the real groups that make sure there's a Democrat president in the primaries than in the general election. And if the Republicans use some kind of sleight of hand in the primaries to make sure Hillary doesn't win, that's their only chance.
Thank you very much. B in South Amboy, you're on WNYC. Hello, B.
Hi, Ryan. Your columnist Gail Collins wanted to know why people were ticked off at Hillary and from the left, and I think I can differ at least my perspective on that. Hillary has not made any clear statements that I have heard about the corporate irresponsibility, about the raising the minimum wage, about collecting taxes from corporations on profits that they place overseas, even though they're earned here. She has not done anything, as I could see, while Secretary of State, to resolve the crisis in the Middle East. She has consistently supported Israel, even though President Obama was trying very hard, I think, to draw more of a middle course. He kept, I think, reassuring the Israelis behind the scenes that they had nothing to worry about. They could just continue to be intransigent and build more settlements. And I do not agree with that. I do not agree with her basic warmongering stance. I do not agree with her support of the military-industrial complex and the enormous income disparities. Americans have not fought their way back from the recession. We are still lagging behind on salaries, on pay, on benefits, on the ability to buy houses. The ownership of housing in this country is going to the banks, and the banks are building portfolios of rentals, so that we will no longer have a middle class that owns its own home.
B, thank you very much. And Joshua in South River, you're on WNYC. Hello, Joshua.
Hi, Brian. Thanks a lot. As a New Jerseyan who kind of looks at the working party's family from afar and says, boy, maybe someday we could have a really progressive extra choice, I think it serves Bill de Blasio really, really well to appear pragmatic, to say, I'm going to take my time. I'm not going to dance at the end of my old boss's string. That's basically my statement.
Thank you very much. All right. So a smattering of our listeners with reactions across the spectrum there a bit to what Bill de Blasio is doing, to how Hillary Clinton is starting out. And I want to bring one other thing into this conversation with Juan Manuel Benitez and Gail Collins, and that is the Republican Party. Because, of course, assuming she wins the primary race and the nomination, Hillary Clinton will face the torrent of attacks in the general election that will come from the right, not the left, the conversation we're having now. Here's a montage of three Republican presidential hopefuls that ABC This Week put together yesterday.
So now, is this the Ready for Hillary gathering?
People like Hillary Clinton who seem to think that you measure success in government by how many people are dependent on the government.
I wonder what her slogan's going to be. I suspect it won't be four more years. But somebody back there got it right. It may be, what difference does it make? We'll see.
Bobby Jindal there referring to that line that Hillary Clinton spoke at the Benghazi hearing, what difference does it make, which the Republicans are going to quote a lot. And before that, Scott Walker, and Ted Cruz was the first voice in that montage. And today we're expecting Florida Senator Marco Rubio to officially enter the race. Juan Manuel, I tend to think he would be the most formidable general election opponent for Clinton because he's young and Latino and could pick away at those important demographics. Of course, important for a Democrat in swing states. What do you make of Rubio as a candidate versus Clinton?
I think more than all those things that you just said, I think Marco Rubio is a great mainstream candidate. He appeals to the mainstream base of the Republican Party.
Is he? Because haven't we spent the last three, 4 years saying he's a Tea Party favorite?
Yes, but he has also that kind of moderate appeal for many Republicans. That's what I see when I talk to people. I don't see him right now as that appealing to Hispanics, just because the immigration reform issue that has become the identity issue for many Hispanic voters in the country. I think the Republican Party has chosen to pick, so to say, the wrong side for most Hispanic voters. So I don't see him making really deep inroads in the Latino electorate as a Republican candidate.
Gail, Marco Rubio versus Hillary Clinton as compared to any other Republican hopeful?
Yeah, in the imaginary Marco Rubio would definitely be, in theory, he's got all the things you would want. In practice, he came out of the Tea Party as one of the first Tea Party candidates against the establishment, did a big upset win in Florida when he won his seat. He's very sort of charming, and he's very interested in policy. He's got policy issues, but he's never actually done anything on the national stage except that immigration thing. His attempt to get a compromise immigration bill through, which he sort of screwed up. I mean, he kind of backed down and wiggled and wobbled. The same thing kind of happened over the question of shutting down the government. He's never had a moment where you sort of saw him as a leader. And he's also running in a state where Jeb Bush is also running. So there are problems there, but he's interesting.
The imaginary Marco Rubio, I love that phrase, as opposed to the real-life Marco Rubio, is in our superhero comic series, Republican Presidential Hopefuls. In general, to finish up, everyone in the media wants to say about Clinton that so much could happen, who knows how this will go, and of course that's true, but I would say, barring the very unexpected, she is such a prohibitive favorite to be our next president, never mind next Democratic nominee. If Gail, here's my demographic or, out of the gate political take, and of course things could change, but if Obama won the electoral vote as easily as he did in 2012, even with a Republican base that thought he was the Antichrist, and his hope and change base having become kind of disenchanted by then on his side, how will she do worse? Presumably she'll get a bigger turnout from Democratic women, do as well among Latinos, and she has more credibility than Obama did among white working class swing voters, to the extent that swing voters matter anymore and it's not just a turnout election. Who exactly is beating her with those demographic pillars, and how?
It's hard in theory. I think you're absolutely right, Brian. But you also look at the history of Hillary Clinton. There will be disasters. We've got 19 months, and every time you talk to anyone on the Hillary staff, they sort of sigh deeply and say, "Yes, we have 19 months." Within that 19 months, I guarantee you there will be moments at which horrible disasters will occur. She will struggle forward out of those disasters. Everybody will rally around her and be impressed. And it might be just a matter of timing as to whether she's in a disaster up or down cycle when we actually go and vote.
Oh, that's one way to look at happens to Hillary Clinton in the news cycle, inevitably, Juan Manuel.
I think there are two big issues. Going with that, every political reporter in the country is already covering now Hillary Clinton. How do you keep your coverage exciting, covering someone who everybody has known for the last 25, 30, 35 years? It's really hard to find some new, interesting, exciting story about someone so well-known known in the country. And the second thing is, like, are we ready for Hillary? Yes. In 2008, many Americans saw that we are ready for a non-white male president of the United States. Now, are we excited about Hillary? And that's going to be the important part. Hillary Clinton will have to excite voters to really win this campaign for president.
Juan Manuel Benitez from New York One and their Spanish language station, which, by the way, if you're bilingual and you don't already know, that is a separate station on Time Warner Cable, New York One Noticias in Spanish. Juan Manuel, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Brian.
And Gail Collins, New York Times op-ed columnist. Gail, thank you as always.
Great to talk to you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the Iran nuclear deal with the United States in English and Farsi. Is it the same deal in either country's language? Stay with us.